Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Football on Off the Ball.
Here's another meeting we can speculate about. What did Arne Slot say to Mo Salah on Friday, I wonder?
Just cop on, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Delighted to have Monaghan's finest Shane Hannan and Mayo's finest Cameron Hill with me for the news round. Good afternoon, gents.
Afternoon, lads.
Afternoon, John. Is it too early for the happy C word? Or are we waiting till
Happy Christmas?
Yeah.
You can say it in the 1st of November, Cameron.
You can.
My book. But this is our last Off the Ball Saturday until Christmas, so.
That's what I'm thinking.
I would say you're within your rights, Cameron.
Okay.
And I would say I'm well within my rights to say Happy Christmas to all our listeners and our valued listeners who keep the lights on because we didn't listen.
We're talking to ourselves here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, we're really grateful for all the listeners and everybody who's keeping us company throughout the year. So, heartfelt thanks to everybody who tunes in and or watches us as well. But so happy Christmas to you and yours, Cameron, and to you, Shane.
Thank you. I'm going to reserve mine till 1:30 when we finish the quiz round.
I've got one more thing to say.
Yeah. Hold your horses, kids. But a very special day to all the people out and about today who forgot, oh yeah, it's Thursday. Damn, and are scrambling around trying to find parking and everything to get those last bits of Christmas affairs done.
And you so much respect to retail staff as well.
Mm.
Like I was in a bookshop in town there and it is absolutely heaving.
Yeah, I did my time, John. I did a coffee shop in Dundrum Town Centre for about 4 years. And around this time of year, especially on a Saturday, you see the gates, the shutters opening at like 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. And it's like, you imagine what the German soldiers saw at like 5:59 a.m. on D-Day. Just an armada of chaos about to hit you. So, yeah, my thoughts go to them today.
Yeah, I used to work in a bar/restaurant in Monaghan Town and a menswear store also, men's clothing store. And yeah, this time of year would have you breaking out in a cold sweat. The thought of it in advance, and then obviously when you're in the middle of it, it kind of flies by. And then you just hit maybe Christmas Eve when the store shuts for the few days and you forget your own name at that point. You might have your first drink. You might have a lovely pint of stout and it all feels like Christmas then. But yeah, fair play to all the staff out there who are doing great work.
I don't know if Duns Cornell's Course is the biggest in the country, but I did Duns Cornell's Course and I did bookshop as well for Christmas. So
yeah,
I think we all have to do these things.
Yeah.
That's our, they're bringing back national service in countries around Europe. That's ours. I think every kid should do 2 years of retail.
Yeah, but and it also, gives you a lot of life lessons.
Totally.
What is our first sporting lesson that we can go through?
First sporting lesson, I suppose, John, is don't judge a book by its cover, because Nick Voldemato was getting a lot of criticism when Newcastle United signed him. And
Last weekend, Sunderland, Tyneweir derby, own goal, villain to hero. He's a hero now.
He is. 35 minutes on the watch. It's at James's Park in the early kickoff in the Premier League that started at 12:30. And it's Newcastle 2, Chelsea 0, and 2 goals from Nick Voldemato in the 4th and 20th minutes of this game, and both real strikers finishes as well. The kind of ball fell to him for the first one. Anthony Gordon had a shot saved, ball came back out to him and finished into the roof of the net, and then the second one, it had a long VAR check for a potential offside, but Nick Voldemato just deemed to be onside, and I think they came to the right decision ultimately, and it was Anthony Gordon's cross and just got the Troy Parrott toe poke to it. And Newcastle 2, Chelsea 0. It's funny this Newcastle team, it's hard to know what to make of them, but then coming into this game, I felt
just
that they
look
were.
At it, the home record in 16 Premier League games, 8 at home, 5 wins, a draw and 2 defeats, and then away, 1 win, 3 draws and 4 defeats.
Mm. Kind of like the Brentford, similarly, teams that are scary.
St. James
at home
is a fantastic atmosphere. as Kevin Keegan once said, they go to the theatre down south and they go to St. James's Park up north because it's a cultural thing. And it is fantastic, so maybe that's part of it. But it is strange that they can't replicate that form away from home.
Yeah, bizarre. Look, those results are probably enough to get you maybe 7th or 8th in a Premier League table, but maybe not push on. But Nick Voltomata up there as one of the Premier League signings of the season.
Goals in the league this season now.
Yeah, and in all competitions, I think it's 14 goals, 2 assists maybe for Nick Voltomata, which is incredible. So fair play to him. Newcastle.
Busy day, isn't it?
It is. 8 games, I think, in all in the Premier League. And Arsenal and Man City, of course, vying to claim the Christmas number one spot in the Premier League standings today. City 2 points off the top ahead of today's hosting of West Ham at 3 o'clock, while the Gunners travel to 9th-placed Everton for an 8 o'clock start this evening. A 3, struggling Burnley go to an out-of-sorts Bournemouth, of course, with that 4-4 draw at Old Trafford on Monday night. Keith Andrews, Brentford, winless in 3. They travel to a Wolves team, still searching for that first league win of the season. Brighton and Sunderland do battle at the Amex Stadium. Then at 5:30, Liverpool could go 4th with a win at Tottenham Hotspur, while the other 8 o'clock kickoff sees Leeds welcome Crystal Palace to Elland Road. So a stacked day in the Premier League today, lads.
We have goals in the Championship as well. Blackburn Rovers 1, Millwall 0. Goalless in the other matches, Preston, Norwich and Southampton against Frank Lampard's Coventry.
Adam Eda scored yesterday for Swansea to give them the win over Wrexham. So have to give Adam Eda his dues there on the Republic of Ireland front.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was watching the goal back this morning and I don't think Adam Eda will ever score an easier goal. It was a toe-poked finish, but the mistake from the Wrexham keeper, Arthur Okonkwo, was horrendous. One of the worst. He comes out, first of all, the ball comes in, 91st minute, 1-1, punches the ball straight in the air, and then one of the Swansea players heads it towards the goal. He just has to catch it. And he catches it and flings it under his own leg, and then Adam Eda just toe-pucks into the goal. It was a horrendous goalkeeping error, but all 3 points for Swansea.
You were at Old Trafford last Monday.
I was, for Manchester United 4, Bournemouth 4. It's funny being, you know, if you had told me before the game you're going to see 8 goals tonight, I wouldn't have been able to guess. You know, it could have been 7-1 United, 6-2 mm-hmm. United, 6-2 Bournemouth, but 4-4. It was incredible. And the place, I haven't felt an atmosphere like that when the Mateus Cunha goal, obviously the Bruno Fernandes free kick.
There was something about the end of the world that Mateus Cunha place went
it was
crazy.
Incredible, because it just kind of summarises where United are at. They've lost to Bournemouth 3-0 at home in the last 2 seasons, so this was an improvement. I can understand the people being critical of United and saying you can't concede 4 goals at home and you can't. But having said that, they didn't put the heads down when they went 3-2 down, and at 3-2 down you felt they're going to lose this. But the crowd kept behind the team. It was a brilliant free kick from Bruno Fernandes. Mateus Cunha was brilliant. They were without De Ligt and Maguire, which I think was key, but he seemed to change shape a little bit, Ruben Amorim, and was less resolute in the shape that he's shown so far. And obviously they'll have Mbeumo and Ahmad gone to the African Cup of Nations now, but it was one of the most incredible games I've ever seen.
How much are the tickets?
Do you know what? I got tickets for reasonable prices. You're talking probably £65 for a normal person ticket, but there was a Black Friday discount. You got them for, I think it was £46. Not bad, like Monday night.
Do you qualify as a normal person?
Normal person. What I meant by that was my dad's ticket. He's over 65, so he got the even more discounted ticket.
Did you fly or get the boat?
We flew over. Yeah, flew over and back the next day. So it was nice. You know, as we know, John, we work a strange week. So
Monday is Saturday, yeah.
So that was my Saturday night. So what better way to spend it than go
Saturday
to Saturday
night of the movies, literally.
Exactly. But it was amazing.
Well, Junior Kroupi scores and then they nearly won at Bournemouth.
Yeah. No. Sonny Lammens with a De Gea-esque save with the feet, and it was, you didn't know how to feel leaving the stadium afterwards, but you know, you can't help but be grateful that you are being entertained. It's the Russell Crowe Gladiator line, are you not entertained? And I think United fans are entertained. And look, they could go and beat Villa tomorrow at Villa Park, or they could lose 3-0. It's hard to know.
That's it, isn't it?
That's football.
When the Fernandes goal, the free kick goes in, you step back and you go, oh my, that's spectacular. But I really hope United lose it from here.
I know. And you wouldn't have been surprised with any result from that point. It was amazing. You forget that, like, the first half, they were so dominant and should have been more than 2-1 up at the interval. But look, Bournemouth showed a bit of resolve and they were out of form heading into that game, Bournemouth. So to get the win, and Antoine Semenya was the pantomime villain for the game as well. He had the little grab around the neck, and I think the Euskous, whatever, was being shouted at him, because there's all these links that he's going to join Liverpool or Manchester United. So I think the United fans were having a bit of fun.
A 4-4 draw, Newcastle 2, Chelsea 0, still 0 at St James's, 40 minutes in the watch. I once saw Arsenal beat Tottenham 5-4 in a North London derby. Wow. 21 years ago. But, you know, it's rare now to see that many goals in a match.
The thing is, analysis goes out the window, because when a game gets that unhinged, it's hard to assess.
I saw Charlton and Ipswich play a 4-4 draw at the Valley.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Just wanted to go down to the Valley just to see what it was like.
There was a Tottenham Reading 7-4, wasn't there? Way back
Portsmouth
when.
Reading, was it?
Portsmouth Reading.
Yeah, there was definitely a 7-4. 7-4.
Manchester
is just...
United and West Brom 5-5.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
I think it might have been Ferguson's last.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
league,
yeah.
2013.
Did Lukaku score maybe 4 for West Brom in that game?
That's off the top of my head now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Some crazy games in football. But you've mentioned the Championship and
yes.
the Scottish Premiership's top three aren't in action today, so Motherwell can go third by beating Dundee. So hopefully we have plenty more goals in the Premier League this afternoon as well.
Yeah, Owen Doyle, Tim Clancy and David Connolly, Football Saturday 3-5.
Indeed, rugby. Leinster claimed the breaking rights over Ulster in last night's URC Interpro Derby at the Aviva Stadium. The hosts scored 3 second-half tries to earn that bonus point, 24 points to 20 win. The O'Cullen side were 17-7 down at half-time. The visitors, though, had scored 3 first-half tries to go into the break with that 10-point lead. But JJ Kenny, James Lowe and Dan Sheehan crossed the line for that bonus point win for Leinster. Leo Cullen was asked at the post-match press conference, and Darragh Smith-Nocton was there for Off the Ball, if he was confident he was soon starting to see the best version of his side.
My confidence is, I'm sort of an optimistic person, believe it or not. I'm very realistic though at the same time. And my realistic side to me knows that we need to get a lot better. So we need to commit to working hard and training. So that's the big thing, because you build habits day to day, and we've had well documented, again, excuse/a reason, we've had a very clunky lead into this season with all these fellas literally arriving back, and we're starting the season, and like, how many coaching sessions were there with the group? Because literally we had we had 3 or 4 sessions, then we're gone for 2 weeks to South Africa, then you're into a Sharks game. So like, we haven't had that much time together. It's been a very unusual pre-season, but it's in the past now, and guys actually don't have that much mileage on the clock as we're heading into the middle of the season, and as we progress later in the season, I think we will get better, as in that would be our plan, to get better week on week. But we need to put in the work as well. No point just pretending it's going to, or thinking it's going to magically happen. We need to get back to work week on week. So when we turn up for work on Monday, it's like getting excited about putting in a proper performance. What do we talk about half time there? A little bit around just, listen, lads, get a bit more buzz about us. It just felt like it was hard work for us out there, whereas I just thought we needed more of a bit of a spark there, didn't we? But there was plenty of spark for guys coming off the bench at all, which is good, which you want to see. But those guys are in a bit of more of a rhythm of playing, so yeah, a little bit of everything. But we can get better. Listen, there's lots of positive intent and all the rest, but ideally don't get ourselves in as much trouble at the start of the game and how we manage certain scenarios, and then, yeah, bench, keep doing what they're doing.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Frank comments from Leo Cullen there.
Yeah, it was a really, really good Interpro derby in terms of the pace of it. Like, it started at a frightening speed, both teams really going for it. And yet, I can see why both teams might be disappointed with how the game ended up in the end. I mean, Leinster obviously getting the win. Ulster, I know Alan Quinlan was saying it on breakfast yesterday that maybe they've gone under the radar, that it's probably part of a number of things with the quote-unquote southern media, that we don't necessarily pay enough attention to Ulster, and they've quietly gone about their business this year. They've only won defeat in the URC, I saw, going into last night's game. So whatever Richie Murphy and attack coach Mark Sexton in his first season in the role there are doing, it's clearly working for them. And you could see just how they were able to unlock that Leinster defence. Brian O'Driscoll was on with Owen Sheehan earlier this week talking about how the Leinster blitz is susceptible to like a cross-field kick if they're not pressing hard enough. And sure enough, it was Nathan Doak out to Werner Koch for the first score. Like, they were completely caught on the wings once again, Leinster. And then it just faded. Leinster had Dan Sheehan, Joe McCarthy, Paddy McCarthy, Tadhg Furlong, all to call upon in the second half and put that bench on pretty quickly, especially the forwards. So they were going to see it out. But you're still looking at this Leinster team and thinking, they're not quite there. James Ryan gets a yellow card for another dangerous clear out. Now, you can argue the rub of it with, I think Leo Cullen, in fact, mentions it in the press conference and asks the media, did you think it was a yellow? Come on, somebody, like, answer me in that kind of way, because it was very similar to, do you remember the Jack Morgan clear out in the second test for the Lions against Australia that might have been the ruling out of Hugo Keenan's eventual match-winning try? And yeah, that's one of those 50-50s, I guess. But James Ryan going back to the sin bin isn't a great look for him, for someone who's just served a suspension for a dangerous clear out, which resulted in a 20-minute red. But there was one point in this game that I thought was incredibly telling. So at the 60-minute mark, Leinster give away a penalty at the ruck. And I think it's Max Deegan who's penalised. And he just says something to Andrew Brace. And Andrew Brace marches them another 10 metres up the field.
It's the referee, is it?
Yeah, the referee, Andrew Brace, exactly. And that made that penalty much more kickable, which Nathan Doak, who had an okay night off the tee, in fact, it would have been 24 all if he'd got all his kicks with the conversions that he missed, but it was a far easier kick. And I think that's what really showed there is something off about Leinster. In a cup final, you'd be punished and you wouldn't come back. It made it a 2-score game all of a sudden. Now, they had their bench and they were able to get over the line in a URC regular season game and an Interpro with the Aviva and all that. But I don't think the Leinster of 12 months ago would have done that. They wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And Max Deegan might be a small sample size and it could just be a rush of blood to the head thing. But there is just a little bit of sloppiness around not just their level of play in attack and the knock-ons, but even their composure in these pressure moments. It just seems to be eluding them a bit. I'd be, even after tonight or last night and heading into the weekend, next weekend when they go down to Thomond Park to play Munster, I'd still be pretty concerned from a Leinster point of view, to be honest.
Okay, we'll see what happens in the new year, as Leo Cullen was intimating there. Speaking of Brian O'Driscoll, get ready for an unforgettable night of rugby crack and behind-the-scenes stories as Off the Ball and Bank of Ireland bring you our Six Nations preview event. So Brian O'Driscoll, Andrew Trimble, Anna McGann and a host of very special guests will be live on stage to look ahead to the 2026 Six Nations Championship, as well as a look back on a massive year we've just had in rugby, including the Lions Tour. So you're going to have expert analysis, never told stories from before, from legends of the game, and it's all on in the RDS on the 29th of January. Doors at 7, show starts at 7:30, limited seats available now, folks. Get your tickets on offtheball.com/events. It is the perfect gift for that rugby fan in your life. Don't miss out because they will be gone soon. All with thanks to Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of the Irish rugby team. Hashtag never stop competing.
Very, very limited tickets. And these are the things, you know, people are panicking.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Stocking filler, rugby fan in your life.
I was asking my sister, what do I get your sons for Christmas? And she just gave me this list. Mm-hmm. Here's a rugby fan, you're sorted.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. You think those tickets to Prague for that World Cup playoff are in short supply?
Yeah,
I've heard that the OTB elves are working hard to try and get more tickets, but it's just not possible.
No,
it's just not possible.
There's only so many seats. But yeah, they'll be gone in a matter of days. So act fast. Just on the rugby as well, to mention the other Irish provinces this evening. Munster are in Bridgend for a meeting with the Ospreys from 5:30. There are 6 personnel changes and 2 positional switches for Munster to the side, which secured that bonus point win over Gloucester in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the Champions Cup last time out. There are 3 changes in the forwards, 3 in the backs, with Jeremy Lookman, Finian Witcherly, Alex Kendellan, Paddy Patterson, Tom Farrell and Calvin Nash all coming into the starting 15. At 7:45, Connacht go to Rodney Parade to take on the Dragons. Connacht have made 3 changes for the game. Cian Prendergast, Joshua Ioane and Bundy Aki all coming into the side. Dennis Buckley has made the bench if called upon. The Prop will go joint second in the province's all-time appearances list alongside Michael Swift. While the darts champion.
I'll tune into the darts for the final. Wait until then.
Until the new year. But the PDC World Darts Championship reaches, I know, it's a disgrace, but at least you're tuning in at some point. It reaches the second round stage at Ballypally today. Fermanagh's Brendan Dolan up first today, taking on the 20th seed Ryan Searle from around 12:30. That game's underway. In fact, last night there were first round wins for 3 players from the island of Ireland. Limerick's Willie O'Connor, Meath native Cian Barry and Derry's Daryl Gurney, and all wins for them. And it was an incredible evening as well. Bo Greaves with a a brilliant, brilliant match against Daryl Gurney, and ultimately Gurney got the win.
Do you like keep track of what's going on and see the form of the players going into the final, or are you going in final episode? Jeez, I like this Tony Soprano guy.
If you're working in sports news, you would be aware of it. But I would totally swoop in.
Like, you're not sold on the Littler story to the point where you follow it.
I think the Littler story is, Littler is a phenomenon.
Mm.
And probably a bit, the way darts is really, really popular. Mm. And I know even one of the local pubs I drink in Dublin, they've got a darts team. They have home and away matches. They have exhibitions with players coming over who'd be regulars at the PDC. So it is massive, but it's just something that maybe it's just the time of year that I kind of want to sit down after Christmas and watch the final. And there'll be some great finals. I mean, I used to love the old era. I mean, I had a dartboard when I was young, Eric Bristow flights and everything. So, but just find it hard to get into until it really gets going.
It's the ASMR, the sound of it hitting the boards, John, and the carnage. There was an incident, the wasps, I'm not going to just put it down, blame it on one wasp. Wasps keep entering the hockey and putting players off.
And obviously I saw the gentleman hitting the table during the week as well.
Yeah, yes. Crazy.
Yes,
yeah.
Cameron Menzies. Not a great day for Cameron's that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But look, that's what the...
And obviously the standard. Was it Michael Van Gerwen or Michael Smith?
Mm.
That incredible leg?
They're both on nines.
So obviously with Littler, the standard is as good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the difference with those, and we've said it before with these kind of prodigies, is that Littler is part of the generation of players, darts players and other kind of sports people who are, just the better side of 20, shall we say, who have grown up and they've had YouTube at their hands and are able to watch every player as much as they want growing up. That you can, it's not the same, like game tape is no longer, you have this resource where you could just work on your throw for about a week by watching videos. Like that, it's an incredible amount of brains that can go into that. They are coming at this in a totally different way. I remember there was a mountain biker who made that point, G. Atherton, when I was in Wales a couple of years ago. And he said, like, you can't compete with the young guys because they've grown up with YouTube. That like they've watched every part of my rides and every part of my circuit. I haven't done that, I haven't watched everything back I've done, but they have, and that's impossible to compete with.
It's very difficult to do what Littler's doing. So there's a supreme talent there,
And by all means, like his daily routine wouldn't strike you as amazing sport.
Just wondering where he'll be in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 15 years or 5 years. It's just like, will he be as obsessive? Will he get bored, because he's, obviously he's only starting his journey in life.
He's only 18, but in 10 years you can't be waking up at 2 or 3 in the afternoon and eating kebabs and not doing any exercise, which Littler has put on record that's essentially his daily routine. So that works when you're 18 years of age.
But I'd expect he's doing a lot of practice though.
Yeah, 100%. The hour's on the board.
You can't fake it.
But concentration.
But Alcaraz got rid of his coach this week, Carlos Alcaraz, Juan Carlos Ferrero, and there seems to be no apparent reason or falling out between the two. I think it's literally just, I need to change this if I'm going to continue on. There's something different that I need that maybe you're just not able to provide, or maybe I just need to try something else for a while. It's an incredible moment when you achieve such a high level of success from a very early age that you probably do second guess yourself just a bit.
Yeah.
And do I need to throw out
Martina Hingis, Boris Becker?
Yeah.
Martina Hingis was finished as a top player in her late teens. She had injuries, but in her late teens. Like she won Wimbledon at 16.
Mm.
Becker won at 17. And it's pretty much gone. Like by the time he's 30, he's pretty much... Like, so in certain sports, you do get this.
Yeah.
Like snooker, actually, I always thought that snooker players were kind of done, and then Ronnie was the exception to that.
Yeah.
The snooker players, like Hendry didn't, won his last world title. I think he was 30.
Yeah.
Winning his last world title. Steve Davis was 32. So
Lindsey Vonn's back at 41 to compete at the Olympics after the terrible injury record she's had, to be back and flying fit again.
This is the news round. Shane Hannan and Cameron Hill with me this Saturday afternoon, folks. Newcastle 2, Chelsea 0 in the Premier League. They've reached half time as St James's Nick Voltimata with both goals. In the Championship, Blackburn Rovers 2, Millwall 0. Goal is between Preston and Norwich. It is Southampton 0, Frank Lampard's Coventry won.
Just to mention as well, I mentioned Fermanagh's Brendan Dolan was up first today on the Oki at Ali Pally. Disappointment for him. He's gone down 3-0 to Ryan Searle. That match started at 12:30. So yeah, disappointment for Brendan Dolan. He certainly would have wanted to make it past the opening round, or sorry, beyond the second round. So more action this afternoon. We'll keep you up to speed as the day progresses. Speaking of young talents, Charlie Smith has been added to the 53-man active roster for the New Orleans Saints. The Down native has put pen to a new 3-year contract with the NFL franchise. He scored that 47-yard winning field goal for a 3-point victory over the Carolina Panthers last weekend and will line out again in tomorrow's fixture against the New York Jets. Amazing stuff. What a story. Like, it's incredible to have an Irish person at that level. And he's, I know he grew up obsessed with the NFL, but to go from being a really talented Gaelic footballer with Down, he was on Conor Laverty's Down Under 20s panel, for example, and to go and do what he's done. And to be added to the roster now, big, big money to get a 3-year contract as a kicker. So fair play to him, he deserves it. So yeah, we'll follow his story with keen interest. Speaking of Gaelic games, by the way, the AIB GA Hurling All-Ireland Junior Club Championship semi-finals are taking place at the moment. Both of those semi-finals got underway at 1 o'clock in Clonmel Sportsfield, Kilbritton of Cork, and Davidstown Court and Cuddy of Wexford are locked at 7 points apiece, while Burt of Donegal, 12 points, Eastkey of Sligo, 2-5 is the latest score, 1-point lead for Burton, and Donegal side has never reached a Hurling All-Ireland final. So that
can I tell a bad joke?
You can.
Huh. Is that Donegal town of Burst twinned with Ernie somewhere?
you've done it. You've gone for it, John. Look, it's silly season, so you can say what
very
you like.
Good. Yeah, well done.
It's a couple of interesting Donegal place names and town names. Yeah, yeah.
Were you an Ernie or a Burt?
Oh, I'm a massive Ernie man.
You're a massive.
I had an Ernie t-shirt when I was younger.
Ah, yeah, that's the one.
I used to wear it to school. It was cool. Well, I thought it was cool.
Mm. A friend of mine has a dog called Ernie, named after his favourite barman in his favourite local pub in Monaghan. So that's what he's named his dog after, so fair play to him. Just looking at the, by the way, in that Newcastle-Chelsea game, Nick Voltomatic could have had 3 or 4. The Chelsea defence has been ripped asunder.
You'd wonder with Maresca coming out like with those strange comments last week before the Everton game, and I was reading the Jacob Steinberg today and just don't know. You'd wonder it all. It's all kind of a strange. They had a really good run there. Where the Arsenal game was, they were, what, second at the table, and now it's just seemed to have had a bad couple of weeks.
Well, he's being flagged as like the successor to Pep Guardiola earlier this week, and I just find with Maresca, it seems like that old phrase, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, always seems to come back to bite him. Because last year, going into Christmas, people were like, are Chelsea maybe Premier League title contenders? And he poured cold water on that, and they went on a horrendous run. And after being flagged as maybe the heir apparent to Guardiola, they're losing 2-0 to Newcastle. Like, it just seems that any time they seem to be getting a bit of momentum, fate has a way of just bringing him back down to earth.
They're also going to struggle to keep 11 men on the pitch, Chelsea, with the way Newcastle are playing as well. Malagusto, Garnacho and Robert Sanchez all with yellow cards from that first half as well.
Garnacho lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. So we'll see what happens in that second half. In cricket, the third Ashes test will go to a final day, but England's cricketers facing a heavy series defeat with 2 matches still to play in Australia, needing to achieve a world record fourth innings chase of 435. They closed day 4 in Adelaide on 207 for 6. Australia needing 4 wickets to retain the Ashes on day 5.
Imagine like you're saying, okay, if you're like cricket and I'm going to go down for Stephen's Day to Melbourne to watch the Ashes, and now it's all over.
Get there. It's like putting your hand up to take a penalty fifth, but you mightn't get that far.
I think what is symbolic of sadly, parts of the world are going, you have this pantomime, Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Overnight.
I'm sure there are.
I just went on X and I said, if you want to follow, you know, if you're looking to follow boxing, just read a book on boxing. There's really great books out there.
Don McRae book is meant to be brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah,
just go and do that, or watch Hagler Hearns in the '80s, or Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran on YouTube.
Remember when I was in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and I went for dinner with Gene Kilroy, Muhammad Ali's former manager, and the stories he was regaling us with, incredible. And you think about how far boxing has fallen since then. No, look, this is for some people. There are people listening to this and going, you know what? I was absorbed by the build up to.
Yeah, Roy McIlroy went out there.
Yeah, a quick turnaround for him. But like, it doesn't excite me. It's such a mismatch. But for people who are interested, Jake Paul has confirmed he's broken his jaw in 2 places after losing to Anthony Joshua in Miami. The American social media star stopped in the 6th round by Britain's 2-time heavyweight world champion. The fight widely seen, as I said, as a mismatch. And Paul has shared an X-ray showing the damage done by Joshua. So, yeah.
We have already had a good few races at Thurles. So the opener, it was a handicap chase won by Rushmount, 11-4 favourite. The Maloney Cup handicap chase went to Rising Dust 5-2 favourite. Amen Cache won the big of the day. The Berean Bell Mares Novice Hurdle, the big race of the day. 4-1, Amen Cache. Thomas Cooper training. Jack Kennedy riding. And Catquito Bello has won the handicap hurdle there, 11-4 favourite. So a lot of short priced winners at Thurles. We have the Long Walk Hurdle, the Grade 1 at Ascot, 2.25. We've got the Silver Cup there as well at Ascot, 3 o'clock, and the Tommy Whittle Chase at Haydock, which is underway at 2.05. That's the racing this afternoon, but that's what's happening there.
I don't know if you saw as well, Curtis Jones saying Mo Salah apologised.
Yes, I saw players. That. Yeah,
we didn't get to talk about this. I wasn't here last week.
Oh, right, yeah.
What, give me, in bullet points, what were the takes on the news round on the Salah?
We were waiting to see if he play against Brighton. Yeah. It was more a waiting
final game, of course.
And then we were on Football Saturday, and then he comes on for Joe Gomez, who was injured, and then it was like there was Salah watch then for the whole of Football Saturday.
Nearly scores at the end.
And nearly scores at the end. So there was that was the kind of the.
How does a Spurs fan feel ahead of this game?
Resigned.
Really?
He's the favourite to go, I think, next. Thomas Frank with the bookies next in the sack race, which I don't like talking about. Obviously, it's people's jobs, but still, that's the facts. Those are the facts. So yeah. Look, it's an interesting game, but two teams coming in slightly different form.
It's the kind of game that Arne Slot should be loving because Tottenham are so vulnerable at the moment to go win 2-3-0. Salah's not there. The new attack's working. It's fluid. All these things you can talk about, but Tottenham haven't been able to create anything. But it's bigger than Thomas Frank. Daniel Levy's left a legacy there of a very good stadium and a very good balance sheet, but not a very good football product. And just the players aren't good enough.
Yeah.
How many Tottenham players are getting the Arsenal team? Maybe Mickey van de Ven? Maybe not. Like, you got Gabriel and Saliba, probably not to break them up. I mean, what are the Tottenham players again, that Arsenal team?
Yeah.
Damning indictment of Spurs, given they were six seasons ahead of Arsenal in the league between 17 and 22.
Yeah, it's fairly done a turnaround. Yeah, but some interesting games in the Premier League today. I'm even looking at, I've heard a couple of people saying, is this today Wolves get their first win of the season? Obviously, Keith Andrews, Brentford with a fairly abysmal away form.
Terrible away record.
And like, even though Wolves lost to Arsenal, they'll come in with a little bit of confidence, having taken them all the way to injury time.
What does a Shane Hannon Christmas look like?
Shane Hannon Christmas, family time, John. A few pints, Home Alone, stick it on the TV. Get in for Stephen's Day, hopefully, for the football.
The film Home Alone, sir.
The film Home Alone. I won't be Home Alone, hopefully.
Family pints, Home Alone.
Yeah, a couple of glasses of vino at the house, Christmas dinner, leftovers on Stephen's Day. Get out for a few walks. Yeah, just
Cameron Hill. Oh, what's your Christmas looking like?
Highlight of the day is Christmas dinner is great. We have it later in the day. We do a Christmas lunch and I make prawns pil-pil. Have you ever had that?
I have.
With some lovely sourdough bread from Bread 41. And of course, other bakeries are available. But yeah, it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I look forward to making it. And it's so much better when it's made from your own hand. The taste is just even better. So yeah, quiet Christmas. Leopardstown on Stephen's Day.
Good man.
And then
what you'll be doing, Cameron. You'll be listening to the Racing Pod because you've got a special every single day at Christmas, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 10:30 every morning for free, folks. Going to drop podcast, Johnny Ward, myself.
And I'm in.
Marking your card.
The next day, next Saturday. So I'll be cursing you out of it after losing all my winnings.
Well, no,
quite the opposite based on the recent tips, I think.
Yeah. Well, we've had a good run. Yeah. But happy Christmas to you, Cameron, and to you, Shane.
And you. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Off the Ball Daily.